There we go, Brian. Thank you. Well, welcome. Can you guys hear me now? Excellent. That's Mr. Randall Ford. He's with Chosen People Ministries, and he'll be presenting the Messiah and the Passover here in just a little bit. We welcome you here this evening for the special service so appropriate during the season of Lent. And so we also welcome if those who may be with us on social media, welcome this evening. So I'll open up with a prayer, and then Wendy will lead us with a quartet and music, and then we'll have the Messiah and the Passover. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to understand at greater depths where Jesus is and where he was all along. From the beginning in the book of Genesis, when you had to have the first sacrifice to cover Adam and Eve in their shame, that same shedding of blood you accomplished in your Son for all time, for all people. May your Holy Spirit be with us this evening. May we learn and may we worship and may we understand better than when we walked in here. We praise you this evening and thank you through Christ our Lord. Amen.
In remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, pray for the time when God's own will is done. In remembrance of me, heal the sick. In remembrance of me, feed the
time. Randall, if you'll come forward, and he's with Chosen People Ministries, and out of where are you based out of?
Israel.
He's based out of Israel. And
Jerusalem.
And let me just say that when we're talking about travel and gas being $4 a gallon, he goes, oh, I get a 50% discount. It's $8 in Israel. So we should be thankful still, I guess, right? So
yes,
thank you for being here.
Thank you
and
very much.
We look forward to it. Yes, sir.
Thanks. Thanks, Pastor Kevin. It was, it's great to be here. And that song's very touching. It's from a musical called Celebrate Life. I was involved in that musical when I went to college. I was just a selfish Baptist kid. And when I went to college, I met people through that musical that really believed the stuff that I'd been taught about the Bible and really wanted to live for God. And I was challenged by that. And that's what turned my life around. So when I followed the Lord in college, he led me on a whole new path, and I started studying biblical languages and ended up in Israel a few years later working on my master's degree in Hebrew language and Jewish history at the Hebrew University. I met my wife to be there, and she thought I was the right guy for her. She was born in the Soviet Union. And now I know this is tricky in a Baptist church, but if any of you have the sun like shining right in your eyes, do you want to just take a minute? If you shift this way, there's shade over here. I know you may have a certain spot you like and the sun's going to change, but eventually. But if that helps you, just feel free to shift. Okay. Good. That way you can at least see me while I'm... So, my wife... how is the microphone? Am I okay there? Yeah? Okay. My wife was born in the Soviet Union in Uzbekistan, which is an independent country today, a Muslim-majority country. She was in a Jewish minority called Bukharan Jews from the old Silk Road, and her mother tongue is Russian. So she became a believer in New Zealand after she left as a refugee. New Zealand's a beautiful English-speaking country. And she went to a house group led by some of her nurse friends. And they challenged her to pray, Lord, if you are the Messiah, come into my life. And he did. Jesus changed her life overnight. She woke up and she was a different person. She felt this barrier between her and God had been broken down. Jeff, can you, is it Jeff, I hope? Okay, good. Jeff's going to start around a sign-up sheet, so if you'd like to hear from us after tonight, we have a monthly newsletter. Tells you what's going on with us in Israel and Bible verses and stories and so on. Also, Chosen People Ministries has an attractive magazine that comes out periodically. And that has things about prophecy and end times and ministry around the world. And we send occasionally a handout that you can give your Jewish friends. If you have unsaved Jewish friends, you have some resources to give them. So Luda, after she became a believer in New Zealand, she felt that God would lead her to the right person. And she met me in Israel and thought I was the right guy for her after about a year. And 12 years later, we rushed headlong into marriage. Took me a while longer. We were single friends, and we were both just going to serve the Lord as single people. We were both 40, first marriage for both of us. But we waited, and it's just been really blessed. And our marriage has been the key to our ministry. We're church planters and evangelists with Jewish people. And I'll show you just so you know who I am standing here. Luda and I met in Israel. Then we ended up, after we got married, Luda went to Moody Bible Institute and got hooked up with Chosen People Ministries. And that's how we both got with Chosen People. And then after we got married, we lived in New York. We started a house church for Bukharan Jews from the old Silk Road. There are tens of thousands in Queens, New York. So, now we've moved back to Israel So we've been back in Israel for 6 years. That's a total of 16 years that we lived there. And Luda and I took a tour guide course. The land of Israel has been called the fifth gospel because the land itself preaches the story of the Bible. So these are some things you can see there. This was when we were moving back to Israel. Praise the Lord, we raised enough support. We are support-raised missionaries, so that means that we rely on churches and individuals to really to keep us there and to be our team members so that we can do what we do. And my wife gave up her New York nursing job when we moved back to Israel, and she's been able to stay full-time in ministry, which has been a great blessing. Our little dog moved to, he's a lot smaller than your dog, Pastor Kevin. He's about 10 pounds, Shih Tzu. We just got a puppy. Sorry, I don't have the puppy pictures. I had this kids meeting a couple of months ago. I was, in the fall actually, I was speaking in a church, and they said, hey, will you do this children's meeting? And I thought, uh-oh, you know, because it's more challenging. You have to be on your toes for kids. But if you can keep children interested, you know that you've done okay. So I was wondering how I was going to do that, and I showed a slideshow pretty much like this one. And once I hit the camel, I was fine. There's a camel, and there's a dog, and there's deer. And I happen to say that if you're Bedouin in Israel, you know, it's a Muslim minority. They're kind of tribal. If you're Bedouin and you own a camel, it costs about $5,000. And people are still, well, that was almost the end of the meeting because then, you know, I got the some fifth grade, third grade hands up. Well, did I ever own a camel? And you know, the adults would probably ask, are camels still exchanged for a bride? You know, and questions like this. I did hear a story of someone who was offered so many camels for his daughter, but it was a lot of camels. It wasn't in Israel. Anyway, we were youth leaders in New York as well as starting our own house church, and they've continued on. They merged with another Russian-speaking work in New York City. In Queens, and one of our girls that grew up with my daughter and was in our youth group got married this summer. So that was really cool. And we had three deaf adults, so there's someone doing sign at the wedding in that picture. We just finished the Jesus film in my wife's cultural language, which is similar to Persian. So that was just completed a couple of months ago. This is some of our team in Israel. And some of those are either right now or have been in Germany and Poland with our Ukrainian outreach because we're able to get several of our Russian-speaking staff from Israel and Germany and the U.S. to help with Ukrainians. Most Ukrainians speak Russian. And my wife will probably go in April. So that's us in April. We took the tour guide course. These were some friends from the tour guide course. She's passed away now, and he claims to be an atheist, but he's one of these atheists like, I'm an atheist, but tell me, why do you think people believe in the Bible? Do you have atheist friends like that? So I hope you talk to them because a lot of atheists are like that. Our Muslim friends are that way too. I'm a Muslim and we only believe in the Quran, but tell me, why do you think, you know, Jesus, do you think Jesus really died on the cross? You know, these kind of questions. So we've met with him, and we're praying for his salvation. His name is Reuven. Here's some other tour guide friends that we took the course with, the two-year course. I believe that God brought Jewish people back miraculously to the land of Israel after 2,000 years of being, there are always Jews in the land, but the majority, vast majority, were living abroad, and God brought them back, and he wants to keep them there. You can read Psalm 105, verses 8 through 11, talks about God's promises of that land for his people. And that's what keeps them in the land in spite of their deadly enemies like the Iranians that we're trying to, the U.S. is trying to make a deal with. But it's my conviction that God has enabled the Jewish people to survive and to be clever and to overcome tremendous obstacles like not being able to do any business with any of their immediate neighbors and somehow develop worldwide enterprises and amazing technology. By the way, all this is shared with the United States. There was some funding from the U.S. for this missile defense system, but Israel willingly shares with its great ally, the U.S. And Israeli aid, by the way, it's not like America writes a check and says, okay, you guys just spend this how you want. 75% of Israeli aid, so-called, is spent on U.S. munitions, okay, and weapons and airplanes and stuff like that. So it blesses our economy. And then Israel tests American weapons, all right? So we were the first ones to fly the F-35 into combat, for any of you Air Force buffs. And thank God for that technology. It saved probably thousands of lives in May when Hamas shot 4,500 missiles at Israel. This is my daughter. She went to Israeli high school after we moved back, and she did well. She's graduated, and she's waiting for the military. Girls serve 2 years, guys serve three. But she injured her back and had to have surgery on a burst disc in October. So she's waiting to speak with the Army doctor on Tuesday. Pray that God's will be done, and she'll have the future that God's designed for her. There she is at her graduation. We go into the Jewish open market in Jerusalem at least once a week. And I got to where I just say to people, hey, we're messianic, meaning there, we believe in Jesus. And we get great conversations. It's a new day in Israel. 25 years ago, people didn't know much about Jesus. They thought, well, he was the first Christian. Maybe he was kind of Catholic. People didn't know, but nowadays, most Israelis know Jesus was Jewish. Many Israelis know the whole New Testament was written by Jews. They may not know that Luke could have been Jewish or not. But we have great openness in talking about Jesus. Much easier to talk about Jesus than it was when we lived in New York. We also are involved with secular young Israelis. And I'm writing a PhD, so I have many conversations about Jeremiah 31, the New Covenant, and the conversation goes like this. Well, I heard you're writing a dissertation. What's that about? And I say it's about Jeremiah 31. And the next question is always, without fail, what does that say? And then I don't always start with the term New Covenant, because in Hebrew, would you know the Hebrew for that, New Covenant, Pastor Kevin? Yeah, Brit Chadashah. It's the same term as New Testament. So I start by saying, wouldn't it be cool if you knew a way that God would write the whole Torah, his whole meaning, more not just, you know, rabbinic Judaism, but the whole meaning, God's purpose for the universe and so on, in your heart? Oh, yeah, that does sound cool, especially if you're a religious Jew. And so I said, well, the prophet predicted exactly that in Jeremiah. We have an apartment to the east of the city and often host people there and have dinners and meet with our neighbors there and have wonderful conversations. These are some of our youth. We have not an enormous youth group, but it just so happened that several graduated from high school this year. And the two boys with their backs to us are now in the Army. You can pray for them. The Army's the biggest challenge for Israeli youth. And they, they're sort of, it's like college here for young believing kids. It's a challenge to get through that and to live for the Lord. We also have a youth worship team. So most of those youth are doing music. There's a Muslim friend. We've shared the gospel with him. There's 24/7 worship, and we're starting that at a new church building where Luda and I attend, not far from where we live. And by the way, we're able to raise the money to buy the building, but the paperwork hasn't gone through. So, Lord, we pray that you'll get that paperwork through. Luda and I started two new outreaches together. We joined a team that's feeding folks. Our shift is once a week to do lunches for mostly drug addicts and prostitutes in downtown Tel Aviv. And we'd like to start a live-in discipleship deliverance program like Teen Challenge. So pray with us about that. This was a woman that Luda met. Most of the women are probably, unfortunately, involved in prostitution there and drug addicts. And so Luda said something nice to Larissa, and she said, "Why would you pray for me? I'm not worthy." Just sad. And Isaac, young Israeli guy, he was so hungry, he took the sandwich from Luda with cellophane and started to eat it, you know, with the cellophane on it. So we just have a burden for folks out there and would like to do more. This guy checked into a center, another ministry, and everyone that checks in receives Jesus. So they start almost immediately, and, you know, we say there's no way you can get off of this unless you have the Holy Spirit's power. And then the longer-term programs are the ones that are most effective. This was Rami, and you can pray for him. This is a brand new slide. I just added this in. In fact, I was editing it today because our colleagues just sent these photos a couple of days ago. So now we're up to 3.5 million refugees in surrounding countries, especially Poland. I think Poland may be up to 2 million. Now 1.5 million, 2 million that are living in tents and on streets and in overflowing buildings. 6,000 have already come to Israel and received immigrant status called Aliyah, and we're expecting 50 to 100,000. It's a small country now with the population about the size of Virginia's, but much smaller landmass. There are many more, you know, living in Ukraine that could come. Our Russian-speaking staff have been there, and we're trying to do revolving teams. Luda's waiting because we have some things we have to do, including my daughter's situation, but she'll probably go in April with a Russian-speaking teammates. And these are some of the things that our colleagues were doing this week there, getting shoes for kids. So this is churches and individuals just like you, and we just are so thankful for folks that are giving. You know, you think you give to a fund and, you know, what does that do? But this is what that does. And people are very grateful. So God bless you. These are just some food things one of our colleagues was buying. One of the biggest issues is just keeping kids occupied because they're not in school. They're totally out of their what they're used to. So just to have youth activities. We have a friend that just went over to work with refugees, and he took a bunch of Uno cards. So he just sits and plays Uno. He doesn't speak Russian, but the kids know enough English, and, you know, Uno's just like numbers. And so Chosen People had put on a camp for Holocaust survivors with a Christian ministry in Poland. And we asked them, could we use the camp to put some refugees in there? So they're housing refugees, and these are some of the activities that we've been able to do there. Of course, there are many other works also already. Samaritan's Purse is there, and I think World Vision is there. Chosen People has a network of Messianic congregations in Ukraine and Russia that can help, and also Germany. We have work in Germany. So that's our pictures to give you an idea of some of the relief work going on right now. If any of you want specifically to give to that, Chosen People has a place on the website. You can do that. Also, my wife and I have a benevolence fund, and you could ask me about that. And one other thing I want to just mention, but so I don't forget, just change the subject, is I have music CDs. Do you remember CDs? Yeah. So I have music CDs. This is original music. Several things in Hebrew, and I have all the words inside, English and Hebrew. So you're welcome to come up to me if you want one of those. And also, I'm on iTunes. So if any of you order from iTunes, just look for Randall Ford. But speaking of Randall Ford, if you do post anything after today, if you could just not put my first name, if that's okay, and probably not any of the photo slides, if that would be okay if you're posting things, okay, on social media or something like that, just because some of the people we work with, you know, may or may not want their photos up there. Thank you. You can put me in there, though, if you want to. I could smile. You could take a picture now. Anyway. So Passover is all about the Exodus, right? Do you remember the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt? How did they get there? You remember the story? I think the sun's been moving, so if any of you want to get more out of the sun, you're very welcome. I don't mind if you get up and just move around and feel free to keep. It's kind of challenging here, brother. Do you still have night things here? I mean, is that? Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, so, yeah, feel free. Already, I think there's some steps in the right direction. It's a Baptist church, but people are sitting on the front rows. This is a great. Yeah, this is really very relaxed here, and I like that. Under Joseph rescued his brethren. Remember, and 70 people went to the land of Egypt, and they were not numbered, like you knew how many. And then they went there, and then they slowly their status deteriorated until they were slaves. And the Exodus and Passover is all about how they got out of there and got back to the land of Egypt. So let's look at reliving this very special experience. And we're going to go through a traditional order called the Seder. And you often have a book. And different traditions do things a little differently. And I can't remember, were we going to do like the hour version, 45 minutes, or the three-hour version? With dinner? Did you get dinner? Oh, the all-nighter? Okay. Yeah, that's some of the Passovers are 6 hours. And the really strict ones. Now we're reliving the Passover, okay? The Seder is a traditional Jewish worship, but we're going to show you where Jesus is hidden in that. Of course, most Jewish people are not like my wife. They don't know the Lord Jesus. And we believe salvation is in no other name. So that's our burden, is for Jewish people to understand who the promised one is. But there's so much that the Passover points to about Jesus and salvation and the Lord's Supper. So you'll be connecting with some of the things that you've known about your whole life. But we'll give you some deeper meaning, okay? Will that be cool? So let's hold up four fingers. Don't be shy. This is educational. We're reliving this. And I want you to memorize these four cups, okay? Because these will be our kind of signposts. So everyone say with me, sanctification. Go ahead. Judgment. R for redemption. P for praise. And I wasn't messing around. S is sanctification. J for R, redemption, P, praise. Very good. This is a smart crowd here. And I've got four cups up here. They would actually be refilled in a Jewish dinner. And you often have unusually comfortable chairs to remind you of Jewish people reclining. Probably Jesus reclined on an elbow like this with their legs going out from the table. We'll take the first cup and try to sing the blessing with me. You ready? Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Now there's a washing of hands, actually more than one. And of course, Jesus washed his disciples' feet is the answer, feet. Okay. Showing leadership through service. This parsley represents hyssop, which is a spice that grows in the Middle East. And it reminds us of the blood that was put over the doors. And do you remember what that was for? That's right. The death angel on the 10th plague was killing every firstborn person and animal, even. And if you had the blood over the door from a lamb for your family, then nobody died. So that reminds us of this, and we take a little in the Passover Seder with some salt water that reminds us of the tears of Jewish people when they were slaves in Egypt. By the way, in English, it works perfect. The death angel passes over, right? And in Hebrew, Pesach refers to the lamb. We have the middle matzah. There are three matzahs in this paper towel here. Matzah is kind of a giant cracker, unleavened. I'm going to take the middle one. And we have some children here, so I'm going to take a little bit of extra time for the kids. I hope that's okay. I'm going to hide this. So any of the kids that want to make some money in a few minutes when they find this, please, parents, grandparents, help them to close their eyes, okay? So I'm going to hide this. All right? No cheating. If you're going to come up and look, all right, please cover your eyes. I see some of the kids are like, no, I'm too cool for that. I don't want any money. Okay, but you really do. You really get some. Pastor's good for it, I promise. It's just $100, Pastor. Don't worry. Let's see. Over by the piano, behind the ukulele, under the basket, and okay. Thank you very much, children. And we'll come back to that, okay? That's coming up. The middle matzah is very significant, but you have to wait to find out about it, all right? And you don't have to cover your eyes anymore. There are four questions that are sung. So often the youngest child will sing, Ma nishtana ba laila hazeh mikol halelot, mikol halelot. What's different this night from all other nights? And the patriarch will sing the answer, explaining this is Passover. It's different than how we sit, how we eat, the things we eat, and so on. Now, you have to help me with this one. What we want to do is say the plagues one by one, okay, and I'm going to put a little drop with my pinky each time we say a plague. And the idea is we want to frighten ourselves so that we never go back to Egypt. Remember the Keith Green song, So You Want to Go Back to Egypt? You don't. You don't want to be back in Egypt, okay? So I'm going to take a drop. And you just join right in, and we're going to build a crescendo, okay? You ready? Blood. No. When I said crescendo, I meant, and build, I mean, don't start with a whisper. Okay? we're going to really get into this, okay? We want to remind ourselves and our children, you don't want to go back to Egypt. You ready? Blood.
Blood.
That's better. Frogs.
Frogs.
Vermin.
Vermin.
Flies.
Flies.
Pestilence.
Pestilence.
Boils.
Boils.
Hail.
Hail.
Locusts.
Locust.
Darkness.
Darkness.
Slaying the firstborn. Very effective. I do not want to be in Egypt. Did we scare any children off? I thought I heard someone running. Okay. There's a little song. It means, it would have been enough for us, Dayenu. And it's like this. If God just brought us out of Egypt, Dayenu. But we took all their stuff with us, Dayenu. Then he destroyed the Egyptian army, Dayenu. Okay, so you want to sing it with me? Dayenu, 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 Dayenu. It's from the Psalms, clapping, right? Clap your hands, all you feel. Okay. Dayenu, 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 Dayenu. That was practice. Dayenu, Dayenu. Die, die, Anu, die, Anu, die, Anu, a little faster. Die, die, Anu, die, die, Anu, die, die, Anu, die, Anu, die, Anu. Good job. Thank you so much. And it's great for believers, too. If we just got eternal life and salvation through the Lord Jesus, die, Anu, but we got a family. We have joy, even in hard times. We have the Bible. I mean, look at all the wonderful things God has given us. Do you remember Gamaliel from the New Testament? Who was Gamaliel? Okay, a teacher of Paul. So Paul, had he not turned to the Lord Jesus, would probably have been in the Talmud, just like Gamaliel is, one of the great rabbis. And Gamaliel is also mentioned in the Passover Seder. And he says, when we think about the lamb, great shank bone of a lamb here. Good job, whoever procured this. They're not easy to get. When we think of the lamb, we have to think of three things. The lamb had to be examined. This was a lamb you would have for your family, a sacrifice. And in the time of Jesus, you would often have a lamb with your family, and then go together to the temple to have it sacrificed. Very vivid. And it was meant to be. It was meant to be a reminder of the price that's paid for forgiveness. Okay, the lamb had to be examined, found to be without blemish, and couldn't have broken bones. All right? Now, the cool thing is we see that about Jesus, right? Jesus was examined even by a pagan governor, Pontius Pilate, who said, I find no fault with this man. He was found to be sinless. I mean, that's our faith, and Pilate even said so. And when they came to him to speed up his death by breaking his legs so he couldn't keep breathing, I don't want to get too graphic, on the cross, he had already died. And that fulfilled the scripture in the Psalms. He keeps all my bones, not one of them is broken. So we say, with John, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, I'm going to say these in Hebrew, and you say it after me in English, okay? Vehu mecholal mipshayenu. He was wounded for our transgressions. Meduka me'avonotenu. He was bruised for our iniquities. Musar shlomenu alav, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Uvachavurato nirpalanu, and by his stripes we were healed. I love the way James does that. We were healed by his stripes. And then let's say together, John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's a great song that believers wrote in Israel. Say ha Elohim, anu say ha tata olam, rachem na aleinu, adon vegoel, ben Elohim chaneinu. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now we'll drink the second cup, the cup of J4, judgment. Try the song with me. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. This is a time where there are blessings in the Seder, and we eat matzah. And one of the things we do we have a bold person that wants to try some hot stuff with me? Horseradish? Who likes horseradish? Okay. All right. Thanks, brother. He's from Syracuse, but not from Texas, like me. So we're going to see who's
I'm good with it.
Yeah? Okay. We don't know how hot it is. Sometimes they're really hot. Okay, on three. One, two, three. No, just kidding.
It's mild.
Mild? Let's try a couple more.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. You're supposed to cry. You might have cried just watching us. And that reminds us of being slaves, the whole. Also, we make a little sandwich out of the apple mixture. And this reminds us of the mortar. It's really tasty. And you can try this afterwards if you want to come up and dip some matzah in the apple mixture and try it. We make a little sandwich, matzah sandwich, with hot stuff and sweet stuff. Which reminds me of you have good things and hard things in this world, but basically walking with God is a blessing. And this is a place where we have the dinner. We have the dinner. Oh, okay, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we knew it wasn't a dinner. We'll let you get to your dinner soon. But I want to take a moment and ask if you have questions, if there are any questions up to now. Yes, sir? Sure. The question about serving in the Army, I'm sorry, I just use Army as a blanket thing, even though my dad is a veteran and served in the Army, and I know there are different branches. The question is, are there different branches in the Israeli military? And the answer is yes. And the Israeli military is quite sophisticated, although also miraculous. People that have been in the military, they're like, you know, it's so disorganized. It's just a miracle how Israel has won all these wars. And there, when you read about the 67 war, the 73 war especially, there's so many miracles that happen to rescue Israel. But yes, Israel has a navy and a ground army, paratroopers and special forces, and an air force. The air force is different than our air force. They're the kind of overseers and managers of all the technology. Israel has a very integrated military. So now they've developed systems so that when there's a certain enemy, all of the different branches are all connected, interconnected, and working together in a really unusual and new way for militaries. So good question. Another question? Okay, off we go. I'd just like to put this in because not being from Jewish background, when I was in Jewish studies and working on my degrees, I didn't get in church history a lot about the church and the Jewish people. But Jews all know this, and this is one of the barriers when we come with talk discussion of Jesus. To Jewish people, they're like, well, I'm not sure that I want to believe in Jesus because Christians killed us in Europe. And I'm like, well, that was a long time ago, and they weren't real Christians. But the answer is much more difficult than that. All of the early church fathers were involved in anti-Semitic publications, including some of the most famous, like Justin Martyr and John Chrysostom. I think it's not good theology to use those folks without at least an understanding of the bad things that they said. Michael Vlach, who studied in Israel, has written about some of the reasons why the early church became more anti-Semitic and developed into what we call replacement theology or supersessionism, the view that the church replaced Israel. So when we say Israel, we really mean the church. And I don't think that that's a scriptural viewpoint, but there are those that believe that, and it started early on. So these are some of the church fathers that wrote, and you see the titles of their works. You don't have to even read them to see what they're about, right? Against the Jews. Contra Judeus. And Augustine. Augustine developed a theology. I had to study this for my doctorate, that said, well, God, we shouldn't kill all the Jews or force them all to become Christians because God kept them here to illustrate his judgment. Well, I don't see that in Romans. I'm like, no, God kept them here to illustrate his faithfulness. And the reason that we believe in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ, shall tribulation or distress or persecution, nothing shall by any means separate us. I can believe that because Romans 9, 10, and 11 is about God's faithful promises to his people and that all Israel will be saved. This may be a remnant at the end of terrible tribulation, but Jewish people on the whole will believe in their Messiah and he will be faithful. I put Martin Luther up there because people are, okay, well, that's kind of far from us. That's way back there. But Martin Luther wrote some of the worst things, and his writings were used by Hitler. That's the cover of his book, his pamphlet from 1543. But that's not where we stop. Where is all of this going? And I wanted to put this in for our sakes as 21st century. The techie people know it up there. They know which century we're in. Sometimes I forget. So the future is that the Jewish people are connected in a metaphor of the olive tree, right? Branches were broken off. And we wild branches, because I'm not from Jewish background, my wife is, we were grafted in. But Paul goes on to say the Jewish people will also be grafted back in again, and we shouldn't be arrogant toward the branches. So this was, and the great promises. So where do we see some of these promises? Ezekiel 36, God prophesies, he tells Ezekiel, prophesy to the mountains, and the mountains will spring forth, and that's happened in our time. Israel has planted more than 200 million trees in the land of Israel since coming back home in the late 1800s in big numbers. And also Jewish people were like the dry bones. And God says, what do you see, Ezekiel? He says, I see a bunch of bones. But God's brought Jewish people back, not even believers, and reestablished them. But there's going to be a great war. By the way, I think Gog and Magog war, and didn't originate with me, many scholars think the Gog from Magog war in Ezekiel 38 is a great power from the north, okay, that's in Ezekiel, that will come and attack Israel, but God will intervene. But it's a different war than Revelation, which is further along on God's timetable after the millennium, after a 1,000-year reign of Jesus and Satan's released, and that's another Gog and Magog war. Now, What do we see today? Is Vladimir Putin Gog? Well, I can't say that he's not. I don't know. But what I can say is that 5 years ago or 10 years ago, there was no way that he could be the great army from the north. But now he has 22,000 tanks. By the way, the U.S. only has around, if I'm not mistaken, 5,000 tanks in Europe anymore. And he has 22,000. And he really could just keep on moving and attack a NATO country or attack eventually the Middle East. It could be someone that follows him from Russia. But Moscow is due north of Jerusalem. So, again, I'm not saying this is definitely what it is and being dogmatic, but I can say that God is shaking things up and he wants us to pay attention and stay on the alert and pray. Also, another great sign of God's moving is that Jewish people are coming home. The last big aliyah immigration from other countries was the collapse of the Soviet Union. You remember that? In the 1990s, and 1 million Russian-speaking Jews came home to Israel and made a big difference in Israel. And that led to many Jews believing in Jesus. So we're going to see the same things now. And we're excited about it, even though it's terrible times for so many. Also, the Ukraine had one of the strongest evangelical churches. And those people are really reaching out now to their neighbors. And churches are helping, being shelters, feeding people, getting people transported. It's amazing what God is doing. So his church is going to be built up, and Jewish people are going to come to Israel and come to the Lord through this disaster. Isn't that good news?
Yes, it is.
And eventually, as Paul says in Romans 11 and Zechariah, all Israel will be saved. Jewish people will look on the one they've pierced and say welcome to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And then, of course, we have Revelation and the time of the tribulation, 144,000. Now, the children have all been waiting, hopefully. And who do we still have here that would like to come and find the Afikoman, help me find it, and maybe make some money? So, come on up here, children that want to be involved in that. And if someone needs a parent or grandparent to bring them up, or an older sibling, you can bring your younger siblings up here. Okay. All right, here we go. Whoa, quite a crowd here. Okay, so somewhere back here is, be careful of the cords, okay? You can trip on those. Somewhere back here is All right. Good. What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah. Okay, Sarah found this, so let's give her a hand. And do you have that money I asked you for, Pastor? Yeah. You can come down here, children. Let's thank them once more. Sarah, hold on. I have something for you. Don't spend it all in one place. Bless you. Thanks for your help. So let's talk about the matzah. Why is it so flat? It's unleavened. It doesn't have any yeast in it. And we see yeast as a symbol of sin. Jesus was the only person to ever live a sin-free life. Do you remember which of the three matzahs here I broke? The middle one, the middle matzah. Jesus, I see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, in a traditional Seder, those three things mean something else. But the middle one was broken. I don't know if you can see through this matzah, but even this kind of soft pita-like matzahs, they often have kind of fork holes in them. And Jesus was also pierced and striped. And you remember we broke the matzah. Jesus was tortured and broken. And then he was wrapped in a burial cloth, right? And hidden away. And then brought forth by the power of the Holy Spirit. And even some people point out the redemption. I gave Sarah a little money. It was either $500 or $5. I don't remember which. And but I redeemed it from her. I took it from her and I paid her for it. So even a redemption. We don't know because the sources, many Jewish sources were destroyed, especially in the Middle Ages, and Jewish communities were persecuted. So we don't know if this goes back to the time of Jesus, but if it did, or it was started by the disciples, or it went to before him, or he started it and it caught on. But if it did go back, then this is where he said, this is my body broken for you. And the cool thing is, even at my wife's family's house, when we did Seder with her father and stepmom, they're not believers, everyone takes a piece of this and eats it. Isn't that special? So, this is where Jesus would have said, this is my body. Now, the third cup is a cup of R for redemption. What is redemption? If you go to a pawn shop and you give them your Tivo DVD player, if that's still useful, how can you redeem it? What is redemption? That's right. You pay $200, he gives you $20. You can redeem it, right, within a certain amount of time, go and buy it back. Now, we were like old 8-track players, right? Kind of, or old cassette tapes and yanked out of a car somewhere. And Jesus went in the pawn shop of Satan and he said, I want that one and I'm paying for that one. And I'm buying this one belongs to me and I paid the price. That's redemption. Now, in the New Testament, there was more than one cup. I don't know if you've noticed that. But it would have been this cup, the cup of redemption, where Jesus said, you got it. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. The book of Hebrews talks about this incredible act that Jesus atoned for our sins and we became part of a new covenant in his blood. So let's do the prayer together. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen, amen. Do we have an outside door? Let's see. Sarah, can I pick on you once more? Can you go to the door there? And is there an outside door past that door? What I'd like you to do is go through that door and go to the outside door and just look outside and see if Elijah's there. Just go ahead. No one's going to laugh at you, by the way. You're doing fine. This is part of the Seder. And a child will go to the door. And in the meal, if I had 12 people, I would set for 13 because Elijah might show up in the meal, and we know that he's the forerunner of Messiah. If 15 people are coming, I'll set for 16, and so on. Sarah, did you have any luck out there? Is he outside? He's there? Did you invite him in? He's coming? Oh, he's right. Oh, go ahead and bring him in, then. I'm wondering where this is going. No, she's vanished. Wait a second. Wait, I think they're trying to pull the wool over my eyes here, Pastor. What kind of thing is this going on here, brother? Thank you. That was the funnest Seder I've had in a long time. Thank you very much. Is your real name Elijah? Yeah? Oh, that's cool. That's like it's spiritual. Now, who is Elijah in the New Testament? Who's the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord? John the Baptizer. And that's our burden, isn't it, for our Jewish friends? Because we see that so much has been fulfilled, that the sacrifices of the temple, they were fulfilled through the Lord Jesus. And that brings us to the egg. Everyone say, nothing to do with Easter. Go ahead. Nothing to do with Easter. Otherwise, for sure, I get some comments afterwards. I wonder if this is a boiled egg. Where's Elijah? I might hit his dad up there. I try to throw this. These are often baked eggs, but they remind us of, as far as we can tell, the temple sacrifices. And to us, it's kind of not enough to remember the blood sacrifices in such a minor way. And because Jesus became the sacrifice once for all of us. We don't have to have an animal sacrifice once a year like Jewish people had. And one guy going into the Holy of Holies one time a year, risking his life. If he did something wrong, they might have to drag him out, right? We have access to the throne of God. This is this incredible thing, being part of the new covenant. Let's take advantage of it. Let's be like Hebrews encourages us and come boldly before the throne of grace and bringing our petitions to the one who loved us, loves us and chose us. Okay, and we'll do the fourth cup. Are you ready? Try the song with me. Sarah, why don't you try it? We'll get the young people. You have been? We'll get the kids on this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Amen. So we've come to the end of our service. Now, next time you have communion, remember, this is where it comes from. Jesus had celebrated the Passover with his disciples. It was a traditional service of some kind. And in that, he brought out about his sacrifice. This is my body. This is my blood. And we've been keeping it ever since. But this goes all the way back to the Exodus. Jewish people keeping it every year. So quick review, four cups, S for sanctification, judgment, R, redemption, P for good. And remember they went out singing the Psalms, that was the praise. Jesus washed his disciples' service, leadership service, and then we have the hyssop, reminding us of the blood over the door and on the and the death angel passed over. Even Gamaliel is pointing out about the lamb. We believe Jesus fulfills the lamb who was examined, found to be without blemish, and couldn't have broken bones. The matzah, the middle matzah. Remember, we see Jesus in this matzah symbolized, even though Jewish people on the whole do not. We saw how this was put away and brought back. And this would be the place where Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. And then we have the third cup, the cup of redemption, where Jesus would have said, this cup is the blood in my new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. So, thank you so much. That's our presentation. Pastor, do you want to dismiss, or you want to have questions, or
okay,
good.
You'll be hanging out on the
Yeah, I'll hang out here, so if you have questions, please, or comments, or interested in the CD, or whatever, please. And also, the contact sheet was going around, so if you wanted to be part of that, let us know. And thank you very much.
Would you stand and sing with us, please?
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me.
Thank you this evening. I hope you have received something incredible and deeper in your understanding of not only the Passover, but this was Jesus' Last Supper. So it's just incredible when you see Christ in these elements and where he changed the liturgy that night. Randall, thank you for being here with us. And we thank you, and I hope you have a great night, and we look forward to seeing you this coming week. And if you'd like to stay and hang out, he'll be here to talk, answer questions, whatever it may be. Thank you, God bless, and have a good night.